Hello everyone, I'm George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. Tomorrow, the Republic of Ireland goes to the polls. Though I'm a citizen, I am denied the right to cast my ballot. I, in fact, concur with the law on this one, because only resident citizens are permitted to cast a vote, because as I don't live in the Republic, the laws don't affect me. Moreover, I don't pay tax there, so that'd be wrong. Moreover, because I live in another jurisdiction, I'm allowed to vote there. In that sense, I'd have two votes in two different sovereign states. Okay, the Republic, we're not really sovereign because we're part of the European Union. But I definitely have an opinion on it. Obviously, long been rancorously disillusioned with all the major parties there. I might vote for an independent. I mean, anybody who's not nationalist, well, they're already Euro-nationalists, but the very minor parties are mostly far left. Perhaps a party that actually wants to defend children from the pandemic of feminazi violence. So it's in that sense quite a dispiriting scene. But economically, we're thriving. We've got this bonanza budget surplus. How are we going to use it? We urgently need to boost our defense. Nary a word's being said about that. The elephant in the living room is the threat from Russia. Now, I don't think they want to conquer us, but they might do. They would certainly like to and disrupt our economy by cutting those cables for Google and so on. A lot of these vital cables for internet come across the Atlantic to Ireland. You know, we're the westernmost European country, okay, apart from Iceland, and then to the continent or Great Britain and wherever. Our Navy consists of only 8 vessels. I'd have to call them boats rather than ships. So we spend a measly amount of money on the armed forces, not commenting on the quality of the men and the women in the Irish Defence Forces. But our military is just puny because we decided to have a free lunch for a very long time. I mean, spending a 0.2% of GDP on defence, 2% with the NATO standard, because we're not in NATO, it should be a lot more than that. And despite all this bigoted Anglophobic rhetoric, asking the Royal Air Force to defend our skies, and which the RAF has done. So that is disgustful and depressing. And only 20% of people want to join NATO, and over 60% are against, so it used to be even higher. So there's a lot of just banging that racist drum against the English, saying, oh, we can't do that because the people of Northern Ireland have their democratic rights upheld to be part of the British state, as though that's a reason not to join NATO. And actually, that would actually help Irish unity. Maybe under the guise of NATO, Irish troops could be stationed in the north. The comment of that, maybe British troops have to be stationed in the south. But coming up onto the election, so Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are going to win again, but not by very much. Sinn Féin to do much better than was originally predicted. So I'm saying that Fine Gael is going to get 22% of the vote. Fianna Fáil also 22% of the vote. Sinn Féin, let's say 18% of the vote. The Greens quite badly on 3%. Labour quite badly on 3%. I mean, one of the big stories of the last 20 years has been the decline of Labour Party, which used to be the third party, not far behind Fianna Fáil in that 2010 election. They lost disastrously when Brian Cowan, Biffo, a big ignorant fucker from Offaly, was booted out. Enda Kenny came in as our Taoiseach. That's Prime Minister if you're not Irish. Partly because a lot of those leftist votes moved to Sinn Féin, who were just completely cynical demagogues. The Social Democrats will be there. They'll get about 4% of the vote. People for Profit, probably 2% of the vote. Weintach, as in this traditionalist, ultra-nationalist party, they will get a few percent of the vote, you know, 4% of the vote and so on. And obviously there are plenty of independents because Republic of Ireland, we've got one public representative, something like between every 20,000, 25,000 people. And we've got this complex electoral system whereby each electoral district elects between 3, 4, or 5 tochtar dóilí, as in deputies, in accordance with the population. And there's a very high chance you'll know the candidates personally. And so that's why independents really can have a following in a constituency with a, you know, not that many voters, in the low tens of thousands. It's because always you have this single transferable vote. So you rank your candidates in order of preference 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or whatever. You don't have to use all your choices. Your lower choices can't hurt your higher choices. And working out the quota, I'm not sure if we use the droop quota or the hair quota. These are two 19th century British, what would you call them, political scientists who invented this system. And my God, what's the formula? Like the number of votes cast divided by the number of positions to be filled plus one, get that number and then add one, and that's the quota. If you meet quota, you're elected straight away and your loyal preferences are distributed. But which one, you know, 10% of my preferences for this candidate, my second preferences, 30% of the second preferences were this candidate, and do you divide the ball or whatever, some votes count twice, something like that. Sometimes a second preference can beat a first preference. People didn't figure out the downsides of it, but they're very seldom decisive election results. There hasn't been a single party government for decades. That's sort of thing. It's a healthy thing, leads to compromise, reasonableness, and that's a good thing, but compromise often dishonorable, a lot of horse trading. Policies are decided after the election, not before, because there is all this backroom negotiation between the parties. And all right, even when there's some first past the post, such as at Westminster, parties, they always break their electoral prejudice. It just depends how many of them and how badly they break them. Seeking election suit all Aaron. And that's why I'm saying the governing parties will go up a little, you know, a Fianna Fáil up to 40 seats. And I'm saying Fine Gael up to 39, whereas Sinn Féin down to 32. So they're much better than they were doing at the beginning, because they played a strong campaign. There have been some stumbles from the two major parties, the duopoly. Micheál Martin, and he is the sort of forever man of Irish politics. He's been in Dáil Éireann for about 30 years. And so the party went down to a horrendous defeat in 2010. He took over as leader, and just by staying in the game so long, some kudos has accrued to him. He came back, and then he did this deal with a coalition deal with Fine Gael, the sort of Irish family Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil Warriors of Destiny. Sinn Féin split in 1922 over that treaty signed the 6th of December 1921, whereby the major portion of Ireland seceded from the United Kingdom, became the Irish Free State. Northern Ireland stayed where it was within the United Kingdom, and so on. An oath of loyalty to the King of Ireland, George V, that was his title, King of Ireland, all the rest of it. His Majesty's Armed Forces allowed to retain three bases in the south, blah, 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 paying a share of the UK national debt. So the Civil War, and then that was Sinn Féin, but okay, a minority of Sinn Féin, a large majority said, okay, we will take an oath to the King and we'll get into Dáil Éireann, because you had to take the oath, and they were Fianna Fáil, and that became the dominant Irish party in Irish politics from 1932 into the early 21st century. And they had that very scarring defeat, but they've gradually rehabilitated their reputation. But Sinn Féin got the most votes and the most seats last time, but the two major parties formed a coalition for the first time and kept them out of office, and they'd split almost 100 years earlier. So the Civil War parties. So Sinn Féin frustrated in its ambition to get through. You go to the early 90s, Sinn Féin's getting about 1.5% of the vote. And then, you know, then they're getting like almost 30% of the vote sometimes. Labour, one of the big stories has been the decline of the Labour Party, like I said. So I'm saying for this 34th Dáil Éireann, they'll go down to 3.5% of the vote, led by the detestable Ivana Bacik, surely the most evil person in Irish politics in a very, very long time. And how would we quantify how wicked she is? Body count, a mass murderer. It's sickening that someone like her dares show her face in public. Wow. Absolutely evil beyond words. Anyway, so move on. It's so depressing. I mean, people like this, there's just no place for them in any civilized society. What else is happening? So yeah, people before profit. I'm saying they will go down a little bit to three seats, partly because Sinn Féin picking up. Likewise, the Social Democrats down to about four. And Independents for Change, I think, probably lose their one seat. Wainwright, I think, lose again. Independence is very difficult to say because they're all very local. Yeah. So I think Simon Harris, a complete non-entity of the Taoiseach, he'll probably continue as Premier, and Taoiseach as a Deputy Prime Minister, literally successor in Irish. Micheál Martin will carry on, a Cork man. I mean, he was the first Cork Taoiseach since Jack Lynch. It was there like in the very early 80s. Right, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. And down with the Republic, rejoin the United Kingdom. Era Abu, Erin Go Brought.